So I guess I'm okay.
All right, seeing none, I have no reports. Are there any committee reports? And we have the approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. And then we're at the sheriff resolution on the Department of Transportation. Perhaps you could introduce yourself to people who don't know you.
Chairman, members of the board, I'm Lieutenant C. Brandis from the North County Sheriff's Department. We're here for the resolution, the bonds grant. Do you want me to go over the?
Yes, please.
This resolution will modify expenditure and revenue budgets to recognize forecasted expenses for participating with the Racine County Sheriff's Department in an effort to patrol, focusing on alcohol and drug drivers. Again, Kenosha County is partnering with the Racine County Sheriff's Department. They are the administrator of the bonds grant for the impaired drivers enforcement grants. The grant funds are used to reimburse deputy sheriff's overtime and benefit costs. The Kenosha County Sheriff's Department expects to share of the partner award for the department to be up to $9,300 for the period.
Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion or question? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Item on the agenda would be the treasurer's report regarding the delinquent tax issue.
Good evening, gentlemen. You have for you the October update from September. Terry had asked for some totals showing the differences between September and October. So that's what was on the second page with the little tiny chart. I gave you the totals from September and then the totals from October and then the change in the amount there. So you can see that between September and October, we went down $1.3 million. About $500,000 of that is tax deedable, so those things that are 2014 or older. And then also you'll note we're making some progress in the letter reports and how many that we're just waiting on 90 days for. So we're chugging right along. We also had a meeting with IT last week to show how they're coming on the process that they're working at. I think they've made some good headway. So hopefully the first phase of that will be done by November 15th. They seemed very confident in that. So this last week, we've also inputted some payment plans in the new system that they're creating so that they can test on them and see how it's working and see if there's any bugs they have to work out of the program.
Jeff? I had asked you last meeting about title companies per those letter reports. Can you give us an update?
Yeah, that's on the second page too in that totals thing. So we had contacted several and we heard back from a few. So the two that we were using currently were the Landmark and the Knightberry. We had gotten back information from South Shore, Accurate, and K&M. K&M, we decided not to go with. They couldn't give it to us in the format we wanted, and they were twice as expensive as everybody else. But the other two, we've started requesting letter reports. We're starting small just to make sure that there's no quirks, so we've given 10 to each of them. And then as soon as we get back and work out the kinks and how they're going to send us the invoices and stuff, we'll add more to that.
Yeah, I knew that there was two added to that, so now we're up to four that you're using.
Yep.
And I would think that would be able to unlog jam that.
Yep, I'm thinking it's going to work out.
I mean, as long as you're working with finance and working with IT and you're getting your process streamlined, the letter reports moving at a faster rate should be
very
a difference maker.
Yeah, so. Should be good.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion, Ron?
What do they charge you? Just so much. It depends on how long it takes and what they have to go through. They charge you
about it. In general, it's between $35 and $50.
Okay.
If they're non-residential properties, it's on the higher end. And
yeah.
Some of the other easier ones are on the lower end.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Anyone else? All right. Thank you for coming. Do you want Terry to come again in November?
I can send you this report.
Send us a report. And
okay. And then we had planned on December me coming with IT again.
Yeah.
Okay.
So because then we'll have like a month after we've got everything working on the program. So probably live and in person in December if that sounds good to you.
That's fine.
Sound good?
Very good.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Next item is the presentation of the 2016 audit. Kathy, you going to do that?
Hello, Kathy Andrea. Jeff. I'm going to start with this floppy letter. This is the letter from the auditors, the communications to the board. And the first letter just talks about any issues we had, which we had, we're saying we didn't have any. It's kind of a form letter. And then on page 5 is a comment. We didn't have any findings. I'm sorry, April, I'm talking about this. Letter, I'm sorry, I screwed you up there. Can I go back to the, yeah, that one.
Page, you're on page, right?
On page 5, you have a graph there. So the auditors came in, they come in and give us suggestions, and they actually came in with this information because they do audits of other counties, and they were looking at the same number we always look at, you know, the delinquent taxes. And so this, I think you've seen this graph before, but I don't know if you knew that actually the auditors noticed it because they were working with these other counties. The is Brown County, which is similar in size, Ocano, Fond du Lac, and Waupaca. And so they brought this in at the same time that this all came up. So it was interesting that, so they were kind of saying, you know, you should look at this area for internal controls and processes and all that.
So really? Yeah, that's about the most understated thing I've ever heard around here. We should maybe look at this?
Those lines are.
Why, where have we been the last 4 or 5 years? I mean, this is ridiculous that we didn't notice this before. I mean, maybe they did. I shouldn't speak if you had. It took this auditor to relate to this. We wouldn't have known this?
We know. We knew it.
Did we?
Yeah, we did.
How is this accounted for, Dave, in the budget?
It was reported all on, in a transparent way. We showed it in many different ways. We have a really good accounting system, and it's going to be better with our new tax billing, tax collecting. But one report that we were showing to the board was the impact on the general fund and the way that our the delinquencies were impacting the general fund. That's just one way.
Did anyone in this room see that? I didn't. Maybe
yeah,
I.
We were pretty clear about it.
Really?
Oh yeah.
And we were okay with.
Well,
$7 million.
I don't know. No one was okay with it, but what's different now is this: that with the economy getting better and with the market getting better, this is getting normalized in other areas and was not getting normalized here. So, after the Great Recession, it did leap, and I don't know what you thought, but I thought. I was thinking of having multiple families living in my house, of family members that might be going bankrupt. You know? But now it's across the nation, it's normalizing, but it wasn't here. But I think now we're making a concerted effort. And so really, I would say it's been maybe 2 or 3 years since the market's kind of gotten.
That was a little bit more than
we
that.
Should be able to make that.
I don't know. I look at this and I see that Brown, Oconto, Fond du Lac, and Waupaca sure didn't have a bad time here. So, I mean, was it just us getting this? Okay.
They normalized and just.
Okay.
If there's any good part of it, you were doing a lot of money during that time because you've been getting 18% on every bit of it.
Well,
so it's worth a lot more money.
But it's kind of interesting as it's just an observation of how well we do things around here, which we do, and this is like, you know, the Packers not having a good quarterback or something. I don't know. It's just is amazing that we could. Actually carry this through all these years and not have large effects on things. I don't know. You don't collect $7 million in taxes, it has no effect on us. We just kind of float on by.
Well, if anything, that $7 million is now 18% higher. So. No, you're right.
No, I'm
I don't mean to make a joke.
Maybe I'm missing something.
No, you're not.
Okay.
It was, for me, somebody wasn't doing their job.
Okay. Well,
I think the good thing is we've addressed it and we have a plan to move forward, so this isn't like this anymore.
How long are we going to, how long?
A year, didn't right. you?
last meeting, they said they're clearing this up in a year.
A year, that Marty feels confident that he can have that tax part of the.
I went around the horn and asked them all.
Right.
And they all said a year's fine.
So we all said that the treasurer's office needs to bear the brunt of the majority of it, and we're here to support her.
But a year's fine, that's what I heard.
Okay.
I heard that too.
Yep.
Okay, I'm gonna switch over to the audit then.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
All right.
I probably should have ended with that, but, you know, very dramatic.
That was, I.
Yeah, no, I agree, you know. So, page one, right there, go to the, this is the audit opinion. It has a letterhead on it, page one, and that's where the auditor gives us a clean opinion. April, could you move up? So the opinion says the, I mean, I'm sorry, down. To the next page.
Oh, yeah.
So in their opinion, and you can see, if you look at the screen, you can see I kind of highlighted things that I'm gonna talk about. In their opinion, financial statements present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the county. So we have a clean opinion on that. Plus, they look at supplementary information, and they also audit that. I'll show you in the book. And we're under the uniform guidance, which is a new guidance for single audits for the government compliance. They also gave us that schedule at the end, the federal schedule is fairly stated. And then if you could move down the page again. And also the internal control reporting, they looked at that, and that was clean. So I just want to point out in the opinion that first letter is very important to us, and we're very proud of that. That you know, they came to the county with that opinion. Then the first thing I want to just highlight is page 10. It has a graph pie chart. That's it, the bottom one. It just gives you an idea of the revenues that the governmental types have, and you can see our property taxes are 42%, but we're funded 41% almost evenly with operating grants and contributions, which I think is a good ratio. I'd like to sometime maybe add comparisons to some other like sites just to show that our county is good at getting grants and charge. You know, you can see that we're not 90% taxes. We're less than half of our revenues are taxes. And then if you could go to the next page, please, April, and that bottom, that pie chart below, this is the business type, which is the Gulf, Highway, and Brookside. So of course, that's 82% charges for service, some grants, and then a small amount is property taxes for those funds. On page 12, that's the next page, April, there's a little chart there if you look on the screen where we highlight what our unassigned fund balance has been over the years. And it's, we used to have like earlier years, but I ran out of space, but it's pretty much more than doubled from 2010. It was $8.8 million, and now it's at $19 million that the county has available. So that gives you the picture of how we've improved there and what the health of the county looks like in one picture. On page 15 is the report that you received this report when we did the closeout, but it was updated, and this is the audited numbers. If you go just a little bit more, April, to that red box, it shows where we were. Our 17% would have been 11 million, and we were at 18 million. So we were 7.3 million over that 17% goal, and that put us at 28% for our unassigned reserves. That was very similar to the year before, but it was a little higher. So that increased a little bit. And on page 20, we have a little, this whole section is our own management and discussion analysis section. It talks about the debt, and there's a comment there, the outlook for our bond rating, the outlook revision reflects S&P's view of the positive trends and Fitch's rating from AA+ with a stable outlook. So that was a step up for us there. And our debt only went from 117.9 to 118.9 during the course of the year. On page 22 is the, I have a couple things highlighted there. This is the statement that puts the government in a for-profit look. So it puts the assets on the books and it puts the liabilities on the books. If you can just go a little bit lower, the debt is down in yellow. So those things for the government column, that first column, when I go to the government statements, the assets aren't on the books and the debt isn't on the books, just for the business type. But it gives a picture so they can compare governments from one to the other. And it shows you, we actually, our capital assets include our roads. So we're putting everything on there that we're bonding, the capital items are on there. And it shows how the county looks as if we were a for-profit, accounting in a for-profit mode. And then the next page also, I like this. This is the income statement in the for-profit mode. And I segmented it because it's a little different. The first column shows the expenses by those categories. If you can go to the left, April, I'm sorry. They have to see that. The general government, health, public works, those functions there, those are the expenses related to that. And then it shows what the revenues are that cover those type of expenses. So we have, as you saw the pie chart, we have charges for service, we have operating grants. And then the column that's the columns to the right there, it's negative. That means that's the difference between our expenses and our revenues. So we go down that column that goes, the first column that goes down, and property taxes cover the rest of that, along with sales tax and revenues that are just related to the whole county. So it kind of gives you a picture of, we're spending, then we have these things to cover that we earn, and then we have the general money that comes through on the bottom. And this is the for-profit mode, so it includes depreciation and things like that. So, and then the next thing I want to show you is the next page, 24. And I'm not going to show you every page, Jeff.
Thank God. You're reading my mind. Okay. There's like 100.
No, I'm not
going to
go. I think
we should.
So we're going to need a sleeping bag.
I know Ron wants to see every page, but I'll. So page 24, the bottom part is the fund balance that we talked about quite a bit. And the first column is the general fund. That's why I have an extra box there. You see, we pull out of the fund balance is really $27.8 million. But of that, we have set aside, we can't spend, it's not available, is the prepaid, the delinquent tax amount that you're familiar with, the $7.7 million. And we also have carryovers that, we pull out that we're not, it's not for operations. But then you see our unassigned $18.4 million there. And the other columns are other parts of fund balance like debt service and different reasons why that's not available for operations, especially bond money, capital expenditures that'll be spent in the next year.
We don't fund depreciation, do we?
Well, that's a good question.
No.
Not really, no. Because the only ones that have depreciation are highway, Brookside, and golf. And we make sure our fees cover our cash, expenses.
Okay.
So, yeah. The next page would be our budget to actual page on page 30. This is the general fund, and it shows that we had no, in the expenditure area, we had no overspending, and the revenues, of course, the taxes, the sales tax brought us over the top there, and it shows that we're in compliance with our budget. And the next page is the social human services fund. It's a similar situation where we didn't spend over our amount. On page 32, is the business type funds, the Brookside Highway and Golf Course. And I think I would like to go to the next page, Jacob. So in the income statement here for the business type, we had, there's an operating income or loss, that first red box. You can see that the operations, and none of the funds really covered their operations with the fees. But then we have other income. So we have, like, highway has property taxes, intergovernmental grants that are paying, and some debt issuance money that helps bring that, cover that operations, and brings us in line. If you notice the highway, it looks a little, we transferred out to the general fund, $596,000. That's, that was surplus there. So that makes it look like they have a loss, but that was transferred to the general fund and increased the general fund. Of course, Brookside does have a loss, and you're aware of that. We've talked about that before, due to their operations. Okay, now I'm going to skip some pages. The next section are financial notes to the statements, and there's a good reference pages there. I'm going to show you page 60, which is about deposits and credit risk, just to show you that we do monitor our cash, that we have collateralized it. We look and see what the only investments we have are all in government guaranteed investments, and it kind of gives you a breakdown of where our investments are, and then the money in our regular bank account is collateralized and fully funded. So you might want to look at that at another time and see where we have our investments and that they're covered. Just to point out, on page 64, you had asked about the delinquents, and there is a note that shows our delinquent taxes. Page 64, just a little below there. And so it shows you the tax certificates that we've been talking about, and you know, how much we bought out and how much is really part of the county's levy. So we've shown that every year. On page 65 and 66 is a schedule of our assets. I put a red box around that $3.7 million in the infrastructure role because we transferred a road to another municipality to maintain, so that, you know, even though we increased our assets there in the road by $3.5 million, we transferred a road, and so now we won't be maintaining that road, and that's what that deletion is. We have, if you could go to the next page, April, and there it is again, where the roads are more detailed. We have roads, bridges, so we're tracking all that, we monitor that. And then the next page is the business type, and that's the construction in progress number. That's the Brookside edition, and that's still at the end of last year, it was still not in use. Now when you see 17, that'll be it'll be changed into the buildings, and buildings will be completed, so it'll be moved as a regular asset and depreciated there. So that's still a big amount that's in there. On page 70, we have the debt, and it shows beginning balance, and I think I talked about that in the beginning. It just increased like $1 million because we made payments. I just put a box around that Brookside. That's the Brookside bond, and we aren't paying any principal yet. That we're just paying interest on that. So that's why it's the same balance at the beginning and end. Okay.
Can I ask Dave a question?
Sure.
Why did we do this bonding on Brookside like that and not a construction loan initially? Why was this the better way of doing this? I mean, if it's going to take you half an hour to explain it, don't, but I mean, if you can, real quick.
I mean, we looked at a lot of different ways of financing this. We picked the one with the lowest cost. The lowest cost is money. It costs money to issue multiple, like a bond anticipation order, a construction note, and then you retire that and do another one. This was the cheapest cost of money doing it this way. I mean, we looked at other options too, but this is the total cost on the 20-year forecast for finance costs.
Okay, page, I'm going to page 95. Just to show you our OPEB, our post-employment benefits, and the progress that's been made, that back in 2006, our unfunded liability was $88 million, and with the changes in benefits and things, it's down to $48 million. Just wanted to show you that that change there. And then at the back of the report is more detail on the other funds we have. And in the very back, I wanted to point out there's letters about our government audit part, the compliance part. And as I said, there were no findings. But last year, we did have a finding. Because of the new guidelines, they wanted us to make sure we had our policies and procedures documented, and so that when the auditors came in this year, we passed that with flying colors. And they also recommended our, the way we did it was we put, it started in human services, and they started putting the book together for their grantor auditors, and then we got a whole team together from all over the county and worked on it all year. It's a manual that it's electronic, so when you, we have a lot of policies and procedures, so you can click on the policy and it goes there. So if you change a policy, the link will change, and you don't have to rewrite the whole manual. So it's pretty slick, and our auditors recommended Green Bay School District. We have other counties that they've said, please share this with them, and they've called us. I know Barnard got a call and shared it with the county. And so it's been the state, the WIOA grant auditors said, recommended this, that this is a great template. And they wanted to ask us if they could, you know, share it with people. So I think, you know, we feel pretty good. We had a finding, but it was because of these new guidelines, and we put it together. And I think the county was, you know, was complimented for that statewide. Does anybody else, anybody have any questions?
Make a motion to receive and file. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
All right, further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is number 9. A review and discussion of the reserve policy, the 17% versus 25%. We've talked a lot about that, and we thought we'd place it on the agenda for your consideration and ask Dave to come to speak to it. Dave?
Sure. First, let me say that, that putting this on the agenda shows that you have great support for having a strong financial foundation for the county. And it's really good to have a board of directors that sees how important that is. In order to do a good job of service delivery, we need to have a solid financial foundation. Without that, all the other things we do can be in jeopardy. So, one thing I thought I would share is during the Great Recession, we went out of policy in our reserve policy. We had an adopted policy. And we went out of policy. And I was a little surprised that we were able to, through several years being out of policy, yet we didn't have a rating reduction for that purpose. Finally, we got to the point where the a property valuation that the state does when they do equalize finally caught up to the Great Recession. And we had a decline, and it declined enough. And that's really the main driver for us getting our reduction from Moody's. But the thing I'll say is that we already are AAA rated in this category. So the policies that the board has adopted in conjunction with the quality of our administration and the quality of our board of directors is already AAA rated. From Standard & Poor's and from Fitch, we get the highest possible amount of points we can get for them. So what if we set the bar higher, going us from 17 to 25? Well, it's nice to bolster that number and make sure we never go backwards, but the risk is that if we do go backwards and we're out of policy, even if we have a powerful policy, simply being out of policy counts against you, so we could lose points. So while it's laudable that that this board wants to consider this, I would say maybe we could move the target up from 25, keep the hard policy at 17 and move the target, the 25% target up, where if we get below that 25, below the target amount, it's not a hard policy. Maybe that's the thing to consider, but we don't want to set the bar so high that it increases the chances of being out of policy and then losing that. We already crossed the finish line and now having to go back and rerun the race. So if you're going to tweak anything, I would say that would be the thing to tweak, and we could do that as part of the budget adoption, but not change the hard policy.
Yeah. Well, I was under the impression that this would help us for the bond rating. If you're saying it doesn't, I see no reason to just put a target in, a soft target, and then be able to fall back. That almost shows a little bit of weakness. I would just leave the policy the way it is. If you're saying that we're not going to get any more points for it, and it's not going to make us any stronger by moving it to 25%, let's just leave it the way it is. I was under the impression that it would help us in our bond rating meetings.
I think the risk, we can't get any more points for it. We can't get any more points through their ranking system. However, if our board moves up the target a little bit, then it shows that the board supports it. And it helps us preserve that number.
With interest, if I so add instead the interest, of it's
wanting to take that money and spend it, and draw the money down, we would draw it down at a higher level. So instead of, if we get up to 28 or 30%, we would want to get it a little higher before we started drawing it down for capital or.
Here's a bond.
So that's really just a discipline within our own board that does then help
that number's 22.
Firm up that AAA.
See that?
So well, yeah, two together. Is there a target now?
Same amortization of like 15 years, I think.
In the policy.
In the policy.
This is even longer.
So you're essentially saying no change.
Yeah.
Right. I don't see how this.
What I'm saying is no change, but if you want to change anything, we could move that 25 up a little bit.
Oh, we moved the 25.
We could.
No.
All right. But it's not. It won't answer. It won't impact the bond rating. You already get as many points as you
can. Then I would just assume leave it the way it is.
And that's fine with me, too.
All right. That would be fine. You want to pass this around?
But I really appreciate you trying to give us all the ammunition we can get to optimize the lowest possible cost of money for what we want to try to do.
Okay. Yeah, I see leave it alone.
Leave it. Any other discussion? All right. Since there's no motion or further discussion, I assume we'll leave it as is, that the consensus. All right, have the bills been audited that have been circulated? I don't think we've got them up here. Okay, very good. Reports, Bob, Human Services?
Nothing, sir.
Nothing? Okay. And Barna, you're going to do the general fund?
I'll do the general fund report. Take some reports and pass down, please.
Thank you, sir.
I don't have the
report. This is a report template that you've seen before. The left middle column is where the estimates were in the prior, from the prior Finance and Admin Committee meeting. And the column to the right shows where those estimates are as of the end of September. I highlighted in red the areas that have changed materially from 1 month from September to October. The federal inmate housing revenue softened, the report from the Sheriff's Department, from 1.1 million to 755. In addition to that, in the expense section, causing decreases of the general fund, that overtime and personnel related costs have softened as well, going from 840 to over, a little over $1 million. Mostly due to overtime in the jail. The flood caused a lot of overtime for patrol, and also the incident out at Great Lakes Dragway caused a great deal of overtime. Positive uptick in the revenue of sales tax is noted here, going from 420 to 505. That's a result of our August number coming in, which was an all-time record high. The other one that changed, other two that really changed significantly that are related are is the treasurer tax delinquency revenues and the interest on tax revenues, where it flipped from a projected deficit of $100,000 to a surplus of $125,000. Mm-hmm. And more significantly, the decrease in tax delinquencies went from $100,000 to $989,000. So that was a large jump there. At the end of the day, when you look at last month, we were at projecting a little over $19 million, adding $687,000 to the general unassigned general fund. This month, that number estimated at $19.7 million, or an addition of $1.3 million. The percentage would then go to over 30%, from 29.41 to 30.41. That's all the information I have. I'm open for any questions.
Discussion. Can you put this, leave a copy of this on the desk of the supervisor at the next board meeting?
Sure.
I think they should know this. All right. Any further discussion? All right. Very good. Thank you. Are there any other reports?
I could make a report on YouTube.
Okay.
But what I could do is I have a map. I could set it out on the table and we could huddle around it a bit.
We would need to move
up these things.
Huddle. Sounds like a football game instead of a baseball game.
Anything to say about the mask?
You said huddling, not cuddling. Because I'm not cuddling with you, man.
Hey, this is blame me.
That's a pretty big.
Oh, gosh.
Here we go.
All right. Now we've got to be Ralph.
I have a couple of other maps.
Oh, I can hardly wait.
So this map shows the city TIFs, which is, I guess I have a couple others for those that can't join the scrum there. So.
You mean small levels, huh?
Yeah. I was working on this over the last couple of weeks, but I just got some data bits, final data bits. That's I'm just
put the link
it
by the link.
You can send that around.
East.
No.
Well, around. But the right
there's,
is.
There's extras if anyone else wants to.
This is east going west. It's in the south.
So the city has
This, I downloaded this from the state report, where they had at the time up to 19 TIFs. And now they're going to end up, they're creating three more TID 20, 21, and 22. So 20 is going to be the old Ziegler piece here. This is the industrial park here. This is dairy land west of the industrial park. This is going to be 22.
Okay.
21. What's
24? Yeah, that's dairy land TIF 22.
21 is what would have been where Foxconn was. Okay, so that's 20, 21, and 22. That covers the three new ones that aren't on this report. So, and now Foxconn had come, this would have, a lot of this would have all been absorbed. But that's the piece that got addressed there initially was a contract between the county, Paris, and the city. This is by Uline, right. And along with that, it allowed the city to transfer Uline from Paris to the city. But with our the IGA that you approved, and that's should get final approval by the DOA in early November, the city will be able to transfer 3,000 acres in this Paris zone here. And this will, I'm sure, expand significantly over time. This report shows the 19 TIFs. You can see, so for example, the Chrysler site, if you ask what the current increment is, TID 19, and I don't even try to put a dollar on it. It really, the value is minimal.
What?
But there, the TID is forecasting up to $36 million at dissolution. You can see the when the thing was initially approved by the base year and the resolution date. If you look at the maximum life column, that would show that it was, if it was extended, then the maximum life would go beyond the original maximum life. So the one that, a couple that have been interesting in the past is this TID 1, the city TID 1 that had special legislation in 79, and you can see that they expect to dissolve it in 2020. You know, so that's 40 years worth of a TID. We have a question.
Sorry for the interruption, but me and Nella, we are not sure what a TID is.
Oh, okay.
Tax and rental jurisdiction. It doesn't help you, right?
Throughout, in our country, most states have a law that has what's called a tax incremental district.
Oh, snack.
And in ours, it works different throughout the country, but in our state, it allows a local government to create a district. And if you look at the map, you can see the districts that are in the city, if you have the map. So they'll define the boundaries, and that tax base, instead of going to the whole tax base throughout the whole $15 billion of the county, that tax base, tax payments made by the residents there go just to pay for things like infrastructure, pay off bonds to put roads in, and do other infrastructure. So there's a lot more to it, but you kind of see the picture there. Instead of it going on the whole $15 billion county tax base, value goes, they pay the same mill rate as anyone else, but that value, that the tax payments go to pay for infrastructure in that zone. And it's a great, it probably is arguably the number one economic development tool in our country and in our state. It's used a lot. And our county most of the districts are very successful. We don't have, there's only a couple that have gone upside down modestly.
Dave, maybe you ought to explain to them how the TID gets paid off, and the money from the TID goes into explain the whole process, because I don't think they get it.
So every year, if the resident of a TID district, like, have you heard of Haribo?
Gummy bears.
Yeah, I think, and so okay. Haribo is going to come and build a really they're going to have a big capital expense here where they're going to build a large production facility. And so they're going to pay taxes on that. And Pleasant Prairie is going to incur infrastructure. They're going to build roads, buy land, do lots of other stuff to accommodate bringing that business here. They're going to provide hundreds of new jobs, and they're good manufacturing jobs. So so over about a 20-year period, Haripple will continue to pay the taxes. The Village of Pleasant Prairie will use that money to pay off bonds. The money from the bonds is used to build roads and pay other costs related to that. It'll take about 20 years, give or take, to pay that off.
No other taxing bodies will get anything right. Except
yeah.
Don't they just freeze the taxes and all the increases?
The base gets frozen. But
the base gets frozen for us, the county.
Right. Paid off.
The rest of the increases go to pay for the infrastructure.
Yeah, it's called the increment.
City, county, state, all the taxes that's paid into it stay in Pleasantburg.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
So one of the ones that was interesting was this TID 4 Harbor Park Civil War Museum, and you can see it was created in 89. It's the maximum life was 2016, but that was extended to 3031, and they expect to keep that open till 3031. And they did use money there for a museum, and
that
would
be 2031.
2031. What did I say?
Yeah.
3031.
Oh, 20.
We're not going to be around for it.
2031. So, but that one. You know, it was in the red, but because they transferred
obviously
because they transferred increments from other TID districts, they didn't declare it as a problem.
Were they juggling the books? Is that what you're saying?
How does that?
How many times can they extend the life on that?
I think this is the maximum. I think this is as far as they can go.
Okay.
Unless the legislature changes.
If the law changes, yeah.
Okay.
They had to change the law to advance
right,
the date.
Right.
Okay.
Another one that would be interesting would be the Pleasant Prairie TID number 5, and that's Haripple. And you can see that right now the value was considered negative. I'm not sure why it was negative, but that's the actual report from the state. But it's expected at dissolution to have $360 million of value. So it just shows the kind of thing that can happen by having these districts, you know, that you can bring that kind of the jobs, the capital, the tax base, the capital spending, you know. In the Village of Summers, there's two TIFs valued at roughly $70 million. At the end, it'll be roughly $250 million when it's all done. And one thing that's interesting is we could go out to 2035, but we expect to close the first Park 94 in 2027. And the one where the Mills development is by Walmart, we could go out to 2035. We expect to close that in 2032. And I really think the TID 1 is going to close sooner because that one could have... much more development and pay off the bonds a lot faster. I guess I could stop at this point.
You get an A for visual effects, though.
Good.
Very, very nice. Have any of these TIDs that have been extended, there's been no TID ever to go on the tax rolls, right?
Well, there have been a couple small ones like the Twin Lakes one and the Pleasant Prairie TID 1. Right. I mean, I'm sorry, the Paddock Lake TID 1. Yeah. So Paddock Lake TID 1 during the Great Recession did go in the red. I don't know if they ever taxed for it, though. I don't think they did. No. But yeah, they did. Yeah. Did I say I didn't think they did? Yeah, okay, then I...
Well, how many city ones were extended?
Oh, you can see that it's in this life extended column. So there's five that were extended.
Five. So no TID has ever gone to the tax, general
right.
taxes in the city of Kenosha.
Correct, except TID 12, and you can see $1,300. They just dissolved that one, so that's
hey,
the first
there you go.
One. You get $1,000.
Wow,
that was a project where a guy wanted to put in a
I think it was a project where a guy wanted to put in a freezer for ocean spray, and it didn't pan out.
So three guys from Kenosha go to Madison, meet with a couple legislators, and they extend the TIDs. Is that still going on that way? Or is there laws that have to be followed, or is it just not? That's the way it's explained to how TID 1, yeah. 2, and 3 were done, was just the mayor,
well, TID
couple one, politicians yeah. just said, we'll extend it. No big deal.
Yeah. Don't all districts have to, don't all districts have to agree to extension?
I
the county and the city don't, and Gateway, they all have to agree to an extension, don't
they? They do. The joint, the JRB does. But what Greg's talking about is, this does happen and probably still will happen. And the thing that drives it is if a local government has a big business coming in, but because of the laws, they can't create a TIF to be able to entice that big business. They go to the state, and it happened in Pleasant Prairie. I actually went up and helped them lobby for it because I didn't want to lose the business.
See some summers by this.
But it was Pleasant Prairie, you know.
In my opinion, I'm pro TIF, but right. God, it'd be nice if they could just close a couple once in a while.
Well, the good news is you can see the maximum life on many of these in the maximum life column, and the projected closure is before the maximum life. So if you look at that, there's several where they expect to close it before the maximum life.
There's a few that I won't even worry about there. So
I'm I probably need either. That was what, 10 minutes or so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further reports?
Good report.
All right. Seeing none, then there's a proposal that we go into closed session.
Move to go into closed
session for the purposes of a consultation with the appropriation counsel regarding some litigation.
Very good.
Very good. Thank you. Goodbye.
It's just.
Did someone move that?
I did.
And that was a second Frederick. From whom?
Johnson Frederick.
All right. And we'll do a roll call on that.
Aye.
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 Yeah. I can get this.
Yeah. So, are we in accord that those two remain our supervisors? Are we including the interns on this motion or not?
Yes.
They explain to them the confidentiality, but they're not allowed to talk about it.
Yes.
We're going to go into closed session and discuss some things that
they've always been allowed to stay. Okay.
And everything we talk about is not allowed to be talked about outside of this room.
All right, so is everyone in the room, either on the committee or...
Until it becomes public.
Going to discuss something with the committee or staff who's recording?
The doors get away, so we're still in open session. We're getting everybody's votes on going in.
Greg, did you vote?
Aye.
All right, yeah.
Aye.
Then the vote has been taken. It was unanimous.
Okay, so now we got to hold off just a second here. Switch.